I'd like you to turn now in your Bibles, if you would please, to the little book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. There we go. And Habakkuk. And just a few words from the second chapter of the book of Habakkuk, verses 18, 19, and 20. Hear God's word. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it? Or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise, and that is your teacher. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the encouragements that you are pleased to give us in and through your word. Thank you for these folks, and we ask again that you be pleased to abide with us and bless us as we take a short time now to look into this portion of your good word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A current television advertisement for a manufacturer of sports equipment, Nike. They manufacture shoes and other kinds of sports equipment. At any rate, the current advertisement on television has as its setting a church auditorium. And the chief speaker in the advertisement is lauding the sports world, and as he's speaking, a professional basketball player comes down the center aisle, and all of a sudden, it breaks into basketball and hoops and basketballs going everywhere. And the choir is singing, and what do we have? A new religion. Well, maybe it's not so new. Athletics has been a religion for a lot of people for many years, but in many respects it's coming into its own as a religious phenomenon. And this particular advertisement, it seems to me, highlights this. Not too long ago, when Kobe Bryant, a professional basketball player who is having some legal problems because he's accused of raping a young lady, when he went onto the basketball floor, he, at the first home game, heard the plaudits of the crowd. Kobe, Kobe, Kobe. Worship of their idol. And of course, that's what these professional ball players really are. They're idols in the eyes of those who observe them and want to emulate them. It's a new religion. Well, maybe again it isn't a new religion, all this idolatry and false worship, because that's exactly what it is, isn't it? Idolatry and false worship. And those who trust in idols and make idols will ultimately come to grief. Isn't that what the scriptures tell us? And I think if we are to follow the Scriptures, we as members of the Church of Jesus Christ must speak out. We must speak out against the various forms of idolatry that are so prevalent in our culture and in our society. And I think this is the direction that our text this evening is taking us. In verse 19, it says in Habakkuk chapter 2, "Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, 'Awake,' to a mute stone, 'Arise,' and that is your teacher." Habakkuk was a prophet who was speaking to the people of Israel in the southern kingdom. Well, it would be the people of Judah. Shortly before the Babylonians, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, came into the land and devastated the land. Judah was in deep idolatry. The north, Israel, had been in idolatry much earlier, and Jeroboam had led the northern kingdom of Israel into deep idolatry, and that idolatry was seeping like sewage into the southern kingdom with devastating effects. And there were times when the temple in Jerusalem was actually closed. The doors of the temple in Jerusalem were actually closed. So that when there was revival under kings such as Josiah, they had to go in and repair the temple and open the doors. Can you imagine? The central place of worship closed so that men and women could worship idols. That was the condition of the land. And Habakkuk is speaking out against this under the hand of God. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, "Awake." Now it'd be like, you know, this podium here, stepping back from this podium and saying, "Wake up, podium. Talk to us. Teach us." Why are you laughing? Well, that would be the idea, would it not? Or if there were a stone image here, you would say, "Open your eyes, image. Open your mouth and speak to us." Isn't this what the text is saying? Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, "Awake," to a mute stone, "Arise." That is your teacher. Can you imagine a piece of wood or a piece of stone actually being a teacher? Well, in many respects, this silliness and this folly and this stupidity, which is actually, I think, what it is in the end, and this is why you're smirking at such a thought, and that people should actually move in such a direction and manufacture for themselves such idols. But we manufacture in our own days idols, and one of the great idols of our day is political correctness. Do you know what I mean by that? The requirement, well, one of the tenets of political correctness is the idea that we should have gender-neutral language, that we don't want to offend people by talking about male and female. It's carried to great extremes. I just heard the story at lunch at the seminary on Friday that a man who presented himself as a candidate for the ministry in another denomination was meeting with his committee, and before the meeting began, he was asked to pray. And he dutifully began his prayer, bowing his head and saying, "Father, stop that." One of the persons on the committee immediately rebuked him for using the term "father" in his prayer. And this person stood in this man's way so that he did not become a minister in this denomination. Political correctness. Another idea that goes along with this in the field of political correctness and is raised to the level of idolatry is homosexuality. You better support it in our land today. Some of you are looking at me like you're dumbfounded at this idea. But this is what's happening in our culture, that these things are being raised to such a level that they are a standard of right and wrong. Look at verse 18 in our text. "What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols." Yes, that's a couple of good questions. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image a teacher of falsehood? When those who worship idols believe that idol is something, they are entering into falsehood. And they are following falsehood. Because an idol is nothing. And those who follow the idols of our day that involve political correctness are following a falsehood that will lead them to an ultimate demise. Think about this now. In our country today, politicians are afraid to speak out against homosexual marriages that are going on in San Francisco. Why? Because they will be called bigots and homophobes, and the news media will get after them because they are not following the standards of political correctness. This is a serious problem. A standard of right and wrong is being established in our country that is opposed to the Word of God. We need to pray that this will be broken. And we need to speak out against it. Well, what about the end of verse 19? "Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside of it." What is an idol? It is fashioned of wood or stone, and it is overlaid with gold and silver. It is the work of the hands of individuals. And what is inside that idol? Is there any life or breath inside that idol? No. There's none at all. And the text here is very interesting, I think. It says, there is no all breath inside it. Now, that's a little strange. The language, it seems, is a little strange. But I think the emphasis here is that there's no all-comprehensive breath or life that is animating the idol. Because the only all-comprehensive breath is the breath of God, is the Spirit of God. And inside the idol, there is nothing of value and nothing of worth. And I am frightened because of idolatry that is arising in our nation. And when politicians look at the abomination of homosexuality and fear to speak out against it, that frightens me. And on the other hand, those who are standing in line and getting marriage licenses so men can supposedly marry men and women can supposedly marry women, they have big smiles on their faces. And they're quite exuberant and quite joyful because finally a government has recognized them in their sin, and they're very happy that this is the case. But we know what the judgment of the Bible is with regard to all of this. Ultimate sorrow and grief will come to such people. And when the level of exuberance is raised to the heights that it's beginning to be raised, and the idea of political correctness is laid out there the way it is being set forth at present, so that there's a standard of right and wrong that people are following, which is contrary to the Word of God. And they're saying, this is correct. They are following their own righteousness. And they're following, as the writer here says, their own self-righteousness, the works of their own hands. It's a pitiful thing. But now look again at Habakkuk chapter 2. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Where is the good God of heaven and of earth? Habakkuk says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. In the Old Testament, that holy temple was a building in which the Shekinah glory came down and dwelt. And when Solomon prayed and dedicated that temple, first of all, that Shekinah glory did come down and dwell. And you know what? The temple today involves? The temple today involves nothing less than people like you and me. We are living stones being built into a spiritual house, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. And when we come together to worship God, we are part of a great temple that God is building. And what does Habakkuk 2:20 say? But the Lord is in His holy temple. Where is our God? Yes, He is in heaven. But He is here, present with us also. I had a professor in seminary who said to us one day in class, take a deep breath. And so as obedient students, we all went, would you take a deep breath? And then the next words out of his mouth were these, the Holy Spirit of God is closer to you than the air you breathe. Where is our God? He is right here. This is what the text is telling us. But the Lord is in His holy temple. There's a big difference between idols and God's temple. There's a big difference between the falsehood that is involved in following idols and hearing the very Word of God in His temple today, which is His church. There's a big difference between the emptiness of idolatry and the fullness of being a child of God and being a part of His holy temple. I'm thankful that that's the case. Are you not thankful? And while we contemplate this, we can look at the end of verse 20, which says, let all the earth be silent before Him. In other words, we are to come to the place of silence and reverence before God. And we are to pay no attention to idols which are speechless, are mute stone, and have no breath at all in them. They cannot provide to us life, but God can, friends, and God does. And we may be silent and grateful before Him. And as we are, we will be energized and strengthened to pray for the church and to pray for the teaching of ministries of the church, so that we will speak out with a great voice against the abominations of our day. Why do I think this is so critical? I think, I'm giving you my opinion now, I think that this sin of homosexuality, if not waylaid in our culture, bears with it the potential of undermining our culture and our society in such a way that the whole economic system could come tumbling down. I believe it's that critical. Because if all of these people who say they are eligible to get married and eligible for all the benefits from government that others are supposed to have, they too would receive them, we would be in serious trouble. I think that's the case. We need to speak out and we need to pray. This is an idolatry of great proportions. And the scriptures speak plainly about it. Let's read this text once again. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork. When he fashions speechless idols, woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise. And that is your teacher. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. The actor Mel Gibson has produced a film called The Passion of the Christ. And the political correctness police have been out accusing this production of being anti-Semitic because it follows the gospel story and it portrays the involvement of Jewish people in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But the politically correct police are not in control of the hearts of men and women who have already seen this film and the portrayal of the Passion of Christ. And one report I heard of a very large group who saw this film was this, that when the film was over, there was silence in the auditorium except for the sound of sobbing that could be heard. The Lord is in His holy temple. And if we will not speak out, God will use other means, friends, and the world will be silent before Him. There will be no other choice. Father, You are the great God of all, and You are not to be compared with idols. And Your standards of truth are not to be compared with the standards erected by men. O God, we pray, preserve us in our land. Put down the evil thoughts of men and women. Put Your hand against this despicable sin of homosexuality in our land. Fill our congregations with Your presence and renew our hearts in a commitment to live vigorously for You and to pray for Your truth and Your righteousness in the world. Bless us to this end, we pray. We beseech You, O our God. And we trust that You will answer our prayers, because we trust that we are praying in accordance with Your will in this matter. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name.